Hello and welcome to the Daily Reprieve, where we provide essay speaker meetings, workshops, and conferences in podcast format. We are an ad-free podcast. If you enjoy listening, please help us be self-supporting by going to donate.thedailyreprieve.com and drop a dollar or two into the virtual basket. Please consider donating monthly by clicking the Donate Monthly button. However, one-time donations are always welcome. Just click the Donate Now button. Now, without further ado, this episode of The Daily Reprieve.
Okay, and if I could ask for a 5-minute warning, please, on that.
Yeah.
Good day. I'm trying to be like sort of for the locals down there, but it's good morning over here and good night somewhere else. And I'm sure like you can't be up with it. There was a song, you know, there was a drinking song, you know, it's always 5 o'clock somewhere. I don't know what our one would be. Like, it's always like, but it's always recovery time somewhere. And there's always somebody out there. There's always somebody hitting their knees and saying like, you know, hey, good morning. Look after me. Somebody else saying, oh, thanks. Thanks for getting me through it. And, you know, today we're on the 11th strip, which talks about prayer and meditation. And I remember hearing a fellow.
We're on the 12th step today, Brendan.
This is?
Yeah.
Have I done the 11th step already?
Last week.
No, I'm not sure that I did. I think I did the 10th step last week. Anyway, there we are. Okay. So the 12th step. I think we'll have to start recording this again from the start. Here we go. Like, so good morning. This is Brendan. You know, how are you doing? I'm a sexaholic. I'm in recovery. I'm not fully recovered and I'll never be fully recovered. But I am a hell of a lot better than I was. Huh? And you know, the 12th step is, you know, I'm going to practice these principles in all my affairs and I'm going to have a spiritual awakening. I don't know what type of awakening I had this morning, but the first thing that comes into my mind when I awaken every sort of morning is like sort of, God, you know, let me slow down enough just to say hello. Let me do my little bit of prayer and meditation just because, you know, I'm in there before I can get to sort of going working with others. I mean, I really need to be plugging in with my higher power. What am I taking to others? What am I going to bring to the show? And how am I going to practice the principles in all my affairs? And, you know, for me, first of all, you know, early on in recovery, in 12-step recovery, I was really looking to pass on the message. You know, I was really, really, I was all reared up to go. You know, I'm practicing the steps and going out there and I'm saved and I want to save everybody. And, you know, and I got sponsees and I'm sort of, you know, I'm working with these sponsees. Well, for the first few years, I didn't get many sponsees. You know, I was rushing around the place like I was coming up to people. I was saying, hey, come on and sit down here after the meeting and I'd take them through the things. And it was kind of like, you know, I remember seeing two people there one time and I was giving them the message, you know, I was giving the message of the program and I could see the look in them. It was like they were in a wind tunnel. And, you know, it was just all going, you know, they were just like being blasted with all this recovery stuff from me. And they just looked like sort of like startled in the headlights kind of look. And I thought afterwards, I thought, you know, they might not be listening, but I'm listening. And maybe that's why, you know, taking the message to others is so important to us. And, you know, I mentioned it some time ago, I think that there was some research done in the United States and they were researching about people and their recovery. And they found that, you know, the percentage possibility of somebody staying sober in AA for 1 year, well, somebody who came in and got a sponsor had a 20% chance of staying sober for a year. And somebody who came in and didn't get a sponsor had a 20% chance of staying sober for 1 year. So, you know, sponsorship didn't seem to be the big determinant there. But people who came in and ended up sponsoring somebody else had a 70% chance of staying sober for 1 year. And, you know, Bill W. says in his story, he says that unless we continue to grow spiritually, through service and self-sacrifice for others, we won't be able to deal with the certain trials and low spots ahead. And I suppose if you just think of it on a practical basis, you know, it makes sense, because we're told in the third step that the root of our problems is selfishness, self-centeredness. And so the task, the greatest task that I have, and what I ask for in the third step, is to be relieved of the bondage of self. And I can't get rid of my defects of character myself. You know, I've done the four step in various different ways, but one way I did it was, you know, when I got to looking at the defects of character, somebody would help me and I would sort of write out all the defects of character down, you know, draw a line down the middle of the page and have defects down one side, and then write down what were the opposite virtues on the other side. And I can't get rid of the defect of being dishonest, of being, you know, aggressive, or being, you know, constantly distracted. But what I can do is I can work on the opposite. So I can't stop the fact that I am naturally. My father used to say to me, he said, "Brendan, every time you walk into a room, you're looking to see what you can take out of it." Now, my aim wasn't like to sort of steal something. It was just, you know, I'd kind of look around and say, "Well, I like that," and I sort of like expect people to give it to me, you know. And I think, like, because if I like it, surely that you want to sort of give me this gift. And I mean, you know, obviously a strange way of looking at the world, but I can work on the opposite. And one of the things that I learned to do, for instance, is in traffic, was, you know, to slow down, let other people into traffic before me. If I was going to get on a bus, wait, let other people get on the bus before me. Just practices of the opposite of thinking of me, 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 me all the time. Huh? So if I'm working towards a service, and I'm told that my primary purpose is to fit myself to be of maximum service to God and to my fellows, in the process of doing service and bringing the message to others of recovery, this is a great way for me to stay sober. And it's a great way for me to remember what the program is about. And, you know, I'm taking somebody through the book at the moment, and it's somebody who's been around a long, long time in another fellowship. But I'm taking them through the book, and they're coming up to 44 years sober in that other fellowship, but they have never been taken through the book, and they're suffering from a lot of depression at the moment. And sitting down with them to take them through the book, I mean, obviously somebody's been around a long time, you know, it's kind of like, well, you know, I know it, I hear it all. But to actually sit down with somebody and sort of take them through line by line the book and what it's talking about is a great reminder to me about why I'm in this. And so those two people, when I was telling them about the program, and they weren't listening so much, they were just like, sort of, you know, they want to get out of here. But I was listening, and I listen, and I remember why it is I do this. Why do I get up each morning and, you know, want to get in contact with a higher power? Why, you know, I'm here, and, you know, I'm over 15 years sober in SA. I'm 25 years sober in A. You know, like, around quite wide. Why do I want to continue doing this? Why do I need to continue doing this? And I need to continue doing it is because, like, at any moment, that old ego, that old self can come back into it. And it can come back into it working in the program, doing service as well. I have to be careful that it's about, you know, that it's not about me. And I have a small post-it, which I've had up for years, and it says, "Don't let it be about me. You know, God, today, don't let this be about me. Don't let, you know, coming on here be about me." And, you know, so practicing the principles in all my affairs, the spiritual awakening. So we're going to have the 12th step offer, says to us, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of practicing, you know, the program. In other words, it's not one of the results. It's the result. It's the one result that's promised. Is a spiritual awakening. And the spiritual awakening, as we were talking about earlier, is, you know, in the doctor's opinion, the doctor says we won't be able to stay sober unless we have a complete psychic change. Practicing all the other steps and up to here, and then this practicing of the 12th step and bringing it into all our affairs, as they say, that's what's changing us from this taking away us from being completely focused on the world through a prism of ourselves and coming to this place where, you know, that's changed around and I'm looking to sort of see what can I bring into the world that's, you know, what can I bring in rather than what can I take out? And the spiritual awakening, you know, we hear that Bill W., you know, he had a very kind of abrupt, maybe sort of, it was called a spiritual experience. And earlier on, people were thinking, you know, I've got to get God like that immediately. And that's not what we have. Is it tells us in Appendix 2 that most of us have what they call is a spiritual awakening of the educational variety. And that's education comes through studying. They tell us that they, you know, the AA Big Book, which is our primary source for the program, is a textbook. So it comes through studying this, practicing these principles on a daily sort of basis. And bit by bit, we change and we have this spiritual experience. And the spiritual experience or spiritual awakening, for me, that really means, you know, that I have God consciousness. They tell us back when we do step 4 and 5, you know, when we do our fifth step, you know, this is sort of where we sort of start to have this conscious contact with God. But that has to become something which is like, it's immediate. You know, God's just there all the time. And it's a, you know, and then I'm comfortable to call it God, higher power of your own understanding, it's fine. But it's just this knowing that I'm in a relationship with a higher power, that there is a power there greater than me that has restored me to sanity and that will continue to keep me sober as long as I continue to build my spiritual relationship with that power, whatever it may be for me. And that's, you know, we talked about the meditation and the prayer. And I remember at the start for me, it really was that thing, somebody saying, fake it till you make it. And, you know, pretend you've got bare shoes under the bed, hit your knees. And in this program, it was advised to me, Brendan, he said, like, you don't even get up and out of bed, roll out of bed straight onto your knees. Soon as you wake up, be out on your knees. And, you know, that really served for me. It's not because it was humiliating, but it was humbling. You know, it gave me that sort of sense of, I'm really asking some power that I don't know. I have no idea what that power is, but I'm saying, look, you know, I need your help. I need your help. And then I have the awakening because of just seeing that power working in my life. You know, I couldn't stay sober a single day, you know, and now I've been sober for over 15 years. How can that be? And how can it be that it's not a struggle? I'm not struggling day in and day out to stay sober. More and more, I struggle daily being me. You know, at the moment, I'm detoxing off a particular type of nicotine that I had been using for about a year, and I stopped using it 2.5 weeks ago. And really, my head is taking time to get used to being away from the nicotine. And I'm not being very productive day by day in relation to the work I'm trying to get done. But I am staying sober and I am detoxing off this particular substance. And, you know, it says that the general opinion is it'll take about 4 weeks, you know, to be sort of like for the brain fog to go. And yesterday, I spent the day yesterday just trying to distract myself from this sense of needing something to make me feel okay. You know, from needing something external to make me feel okay. And so for the day, my only task and the only demand that I was putting upon myself was to stay sober, stay in touch with my higher power, and, you know, trust that if I continue along the path I'm going, things will, and I will physically feel better as I go forward. And so I'm able to be comfortable with myself, understanding that at times that's the best that I can do. At times the best thing that I can do is just to stay sober. But if I'm sober, you know, then at the end of the day, if that's all the power that I've been given for that day was to stay sober, well, it's not my job to sort of turn around on myself and then sort of start to criticize myself for all the things that didn't get done that I thought that needed to be done. Yeah. It's here I am. I'm sober another day. And practicing the principles in all our affairs, you know, well, what are these principles? They're principles of courage, of faith, of hope, of honesty, of spirituality. They're trust in God. You know, at the end of the day, if I've had a spiritual awakening, and if I'm going to go and share this program with somebody else, I can't share what I haven't got. So if I haven't got that real contact with a higher power, and sometimes it may slip away. You know, I may feel it slipping away, where is the contact? Maybe there's something I'm not doing, whatever. But that's part of the relationship, is when noticing when I seem to be drifting away from my relationship with the higher power. Notice when I might be drifting into self-reliance. You know, it's okay. I can do this myself. I got it. It's okay. Don't need you, big fella. I'll be okay on my own. Maybe if we were all sitting in the room together, then it would be easier to convey the sense of peace that I get from knowing I've got a higher power and from knowing that it'll be okay, that whatever is happening is, you know, it's just the way it's supposed to be. I'm just the way I'm supposed to be. A lot of the time, the only person who's criticizing me is me. The only person who's, you know, who's creating discomfort in my life, saying, oh, you know, it's not going to work out, and you won't have enough money, and you're not going to do this and the other, is me. If I have a spiritual awakening, if I'm conscious of a relationship with a higher power, if I trust that this higher power is my new employer and is going to give me what I need if I stay close to the higher power, then I have no need of fear. And, you know, we look around and we see all the terrible things that are going on in the world and we think, oh, well, you know, how can that be? Or, you know, what would it be? And, you know, how could God allow that to happen? And I don't know. I don't know. And I don't have answers for these things. And I don't know what the certain trials and low spots ahead are going to be in my life. All I know is that there will be times when I won't be as jolly or necessarily as comfortable as I am right now. But if it's true that the higher power is going to give me what I need, then even in those times of trial, God will give me what I need to be able to deal with it. And, you know, I've been amazed seeing people interviewed.
5 minutes.
Thank you. Seeing people interviewed recently in, you know, some of the greatest hotspots in the world, you know, where great pain is being suffered, and saying, you know, but always sort of saying, you know, but God is there, like God is good, and, you know, I'm turning to God, God look after us. And you wonder, where do they get that kind of belief? And they must get it from a conscious contact with a higher power. So it's not necessarily, it's not just us who, you know, in recovery, who have this. And I'm often amazed at the people who, you know, who weren't addicts, who hadn't destroyed their lives and the lives of others, you know, that they can have a conscious contact with a higher power, that they can have that faith. You know, and for me, the faith has come. I remember being told a story about a fellow, you know, here in Ireland. He had an old Lada, Russian Lada car, you know, and there were a lot of them in Ireland, but they were, you know, got it in, got it cheap, brought it here, whatever. He's driving up there through the Midlands, and he went over one of the humpback big bridges you have in Ireland, which is a really steep bridge. And as he was going up over it, the car conked out, and what is he going to do? And you're looking around, you're talking to people. I said, where are you going? He said, like, who'll be able to fix a ladder? And somebody said, oh, should use John Marr up the road there. If you go on up as far as the cross and turn right, and the third door down on the right, the red door, knock there and ask for John, you see? And so he goes up and he knocks on the door, and John comes down, and John fixes the car, and, off he goes. And it's great. Bob's your uncle, yeah? And, about 6 months later, he's back passing through again. Same thing happens. Car breaks down. And so he goes on up to the house, and he knocks on the door again, to John. He said, the first time he went up in hope, and the second time he went up in faith. And like in this program, this spiritual awakening is moving from hope into faith based on knowledge. I didn't trust in a higher power because people said to me, trust in a higher power. There you go, trust in a higher power and it'll all be all right. I faked it till I made it. I worked on saying, okay, look, I try and turn it over to this higher power because, I hope. And then, things just were starting to work out. I could see that my life was working better. As it says to us in step three, it says, as we began to, achieve peace of mind, as we started to feel this higher power coming in our lives, if I'm sober, if I'm sober a day, if I'm sober 2 days, if I'm sober, multiple days, whatever, this is a power that I didn't have in the past. And I say, oh yeah, well, I used to be able to sort of stay sober for a month. Yeah, but I always lost it again. I don't think I ever stayed sober for a month from this particular addiction. I'm here now, and I'm 65, and I have a job. My contract ends this year, and I don't have a big pension. I don't have a clear idea of what I'll be doing. In 6-7 months time going forward. But I have a higher power. And in step three, I'm told that, if I want to hand my will and my life over to this higher power, if I want to trust and turn it over, I have to quit playing God. And I'm going to take directions. And my higher power just gives me directions, sometimes on a minute-by-minute basis, sometimes on a daily basis. Very rarely more than, 24 hours of kind of clear idea of what am I supposed to be doing today? And definitely not, I don't have the whole script of my life and know what I'll be doing years down on the line. But if I have a spiritual awakening, it's the belief that whatever is coming for me is mine in terms of, I'm here to be Brendan, and I'm here to live the life that my higher power has planned for me, whatever it is. And my biggest task is to make sure that I don't get in the way of me having the opportunity to live that life, whatever it might be, with the high points and with the certain trials and low spots ahead. And recovery.
Time.
Thanks. And recovery will give me, I hope, the strength and the dignity in the hard times to be able to live those well and to be there for others, to be part of the solution rather than part of the problem. Thanks for letting me share.
I would like to thank you for listening to this episode of The Daily Reprieve, the best source for experience, strength, and hope for SA members. Please subscribe to this podcast to be alerted of new episodes. Please show your support by donating to The Daily Reprieve by going to donate.thedailyreprieve.com and choosing either monthly donations or a one-time donation by clicking Donate Now. Thank you for listening, and stay tuned for the next episode of The Daily Reprieve.